The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. And this Friday, February 11th, 2022. And tonight we have a lot to cover. I know I say that often, but we often do. And as always on Friday, we have, well, tonight, as always, not always, but most of the time on the board, we have that ever alert guardian of the control board, Courageous Craig.
Hello, everybody, and have a good weekend.
Well, thank you. And then we have out there tonight, as we always do on Friday nights, my two highly esteemed good fellows, those Jovial Johns, John McTurnan and John Holman.
Well, thank you, Pastor Ernie, and God bless you and all our listeners, and I hope that this show is a real blessing tonight.
All righty.
I'll second that. Lord's blessings to all the listeners, and we're here to speak truth and love.
All righty, well, we're going to get it done. Well, I bet, do you fellows know what the title of the message was this week? No, you don't, do you?
No, Pastor.
Well, it was the Jew according to the Word of God. The Jew according to the Word of God. And so, the reason I preached on that message is recently, as you know, I get a lot of letters. And there are some people out there, again, and I'm repeating myself all week long, but that believe that Israel can do nothing right, that they're the cause of all of the world's trouble, those wicked Jews. Then there's the other side that believe that the Jews can do no harm. They can only do good. There are those out there that say that really the Jews aren't really the Jews, and that they're parts of the Khazars, the Khazarian. They're not real Jews, and therefore all of Israel, and we're actually the church, the mother and the sons, the Caucasian people are the true Israel. And so what we decided to do is what I've always been doing. There's only one source of complete and total accurate documentation of history. I mean that you know is inerrant. One source that all the powers in the world cannot change or discredit. And you fellows know what that is, don't you?
Well, it's God's word, Pastor Ernie.
It's God's word, the Bible. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you didn't say it was Pastor Ernie.
I was going to say,
Pastor Ernie, don't worry, but you don't have to worry about that.
All right. Okay. But anyhow, and that is, and so that's what I'm sticking to. It's what we've done. We've used God's word and God's word alone to show you who is a Jew and who is not a Jew. And that's what we've been doing. And we're finishing up tonight as we go through the last part of this. And we're in Zechariah chapter 13, starting with verse 2. And we're going to read from verse 2 all the way through to verse 9. So would you fellows go ahead and do that? John, you start.
Zechariah 2, did you say?
Yeah, Zechariah 13, starting with verse 2.
Okay. All right. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and there shall no more be remembered, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land.
And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then let his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother that begat him will thrust him through when he prophesy.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive.
But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth.
And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends.
Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones.
And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein.
And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as fire is refined. And I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God.
Two, it says, and it shall come to pass in that day. What day are they talking about?
Pastor Ernie, that's heading towards the day of the Lord, the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Well, we know that because if we go to the first verse in chapter 14, it says, behold, the day of the Lord, huh? And so
right,
here...
Verse 12 is talking about the same thing, in that day, in that day, in that day, chapter 12, and then chapter 14 tells you it's the day of the Lord.
Yeah. And so here now, he says, I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall be no more remembered. And I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when they shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begot him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. Now, here, what happens during the millennial kingdom when you sin against God, when those that sin against God during that millennial kingdom, what happens at that time?
Well, Pastor Ernie, the only remedy isn't the word, but the only thing is that person has to die.
So why will judgment be instantaneously? Judgment will be instantaneously. Why?
Well, Christ is present.
Because the judge is there, right? And so,
right. Okay. Christ is present. Yes.
Now, it should come to pass in that day the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, and he that prophesies, neither shall he wear a rough garment to deceive. Rough. Do you know what that word there in the Hebrew, rough, means?
Well, I know they used to sit in sackcloth and ashes, So that rough garment probably is the sackcloth.
No, that word there in the Hebrew is for hairy, a hairy. Who used a hairy garment to deceive?
It happened with Jacob and Esau.
Yeah. And Jacob used a hairy garment, and he deceived his father, didn't he?
Yep. Yes.
And but he shall say, I am no prophet, and I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. Okay, so in other words, the prophet's going to say, I'm not a prophet, I'm a husbandman. What's a husbandman?
A husbandman, Pastor Ernie, is someone that takes care of, like, the orchard, fruit trees.
Yeah, we call them farmers out here. That's what a husbandman is a farmer. And so the prophet's going to say, I ain't no prophet. In other words, he's going to deny what he was doing, huh?
Yep.
Okay, and so now, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds? Now one shall say unto him, meaning the Lord, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then shall he answer thus, with which I was wounded in a house of my friends. Now that's referring to the Lord Jesus himself. And how was it that he was wounded in the house of his friends?
Well, I take that with Judas.
You'd be absolutely right. It was Judas who betrayed him, but the religious leaders that were against him, the Jews, that were against him. Now, who were the very first converts, the very first believers or Christians?
The very first ones, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
Jews.
Well, I would say, this may sound odd, but I would say it was the Roman centurions that crucified him.
Well, that you might have. They looked and they believed, didn't they? Okay.
They confessed that he was the Son of God when he died on the cross. It's in Matthew. It goes when the centurion and they that were with him saw the earthquakes and those things that were done, they said truly he was the Son of God.
So that was a profession of faith, too. What about, didn't any of the disciples believe upon him?
When he rose from the dead and appeared to them.
Okay, so at the very first, when Jesus appeared, he appeared to who? Who was the very first, actually the very first church? Actually, the very first, what you would call assembly, was with John the Baptist. John the Baptist had, that when preaching repentance, had followers, and they called themselves Baptists. They were followers of John, and John was preaching repentance. So in that sense, he was actually the pastor of the first, what you call gathering or assembly. But in this case, here, the Jews that came, the very first to assemble and be called Christians were Jews. So at the same time, those that would betrayed him were also Jews. And so when Jesus hung up on that cross, his last words that he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, for it is finished. So when he said, Father, forgive them, who is he referring to?
Well, the immediate ones were the Roman centurion and the Roman army that had put him on the cross.
Now who was the ones that were yelling, crucify, crucify, let his blood be upon us and our children? Let his blood be upon us and our children.
Well of course, it was the mob and the religious people, but I kind of tend to look at it as was kind of like a broad sweeping proclamation that, you know, the people that were there didn't believe who he was, who he said he was. And so he said, forgive them, for they I think they, maybe in my mind, is more than just, you know, a particular group. It's kind of like everybody.
Well, remember when they were, when he said that, is they were yelling, "Crucify, crucify! Let his blood be upon us." And yeah. then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And of course, now first of all, what is required for forgiveness? What is, first of all, he was referring mainly to the religious leaders, those that caused him to be crucified, the religious leaders. How do we know that? Isaiah 53. It kind of defines it, like, you know, as clear as can be. But now here, so when he said that, he said, "Father, forgive them," and he was referring to mostly the religious leaders, national Israel. Let me ask you this. What was required? Were there requirements and conditions for that forgiveness by the Father? Did the Father forgive them, and what were the requirements and the conditions?
Well, the
same requirements that the gospel spells out. God didn't have a special forgiveness dispensation for who we may believe that Christ was talking to. It was automatic. It wasn't. They had to repent and believe in the gospel.
Well, they had to repent, but the very same ones that were yelling, "Crucify, crucify," they had to acknowledge the fact that he was God the Son, that he was the Son of God and God the Son, and they had to recognize that what they had done is they had crucified the Son of God, and they had to repent of that, but then they had to pray to that and ask that very same one that they crucified to be the Lord of their life, all of their life, entirely, without any reservations, and place him number one above all things, like the Apostle Paul. And that was the requirement, wasn't it, or the condition?
Yeah, absolutely. They had to acknowledge the one that they, well, like I told you, with the Roman soldiers, they acknowledged him.
Yeah, they certainly did.
Pastor Ernie, on Luke 23:34, well, let me read 33. "And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." That's why I took that to be the Roman soldiers, because they were crucifying him and they took his robe off. And so that looks specific for them. When I read that scripture, it looks specifically to what the Roman soldiers had thought.
Yeah, it does. But then on the other side of that, if you go over to Isaiah chapter 53 and you read that, and it's very specific. It was the nation. They were his people are the ones that crucified them. And but anyhow, actually it applies to both. It applies to both of them, okay? Here it says, "But he was wounded of our transgressions. He was bruised of our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." These were the Jews, okay? And he was oppressed and he was afflicted. But let's go back over here and pick it up where we left off. And he says, when did he... Okay, here, this next verse. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, and smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." Who said that over in Matthew 26, verses 31 and 32? That was the Lord speaking to the apostles. The Lord quoted that verse. And, okay. "And it shall come to pass that in all the land the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, this is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now, here, a third of them, which is the remnant of those that are professing Israel today. We went all through Scripture on taking a look at who is a Jew, what the Apostle Paul had to say in Romans 9 and also in Romans 11, and then what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8, and then in Revelation 13 about those that say they are Jews, those that are the seed of Abraham but not the sons of Abraham, the true Jews. And then we took a look at today, who would you consider to be an apostate Jew? And we talked about people like Chuckie Schumer, George Soros, a whole litany of them out there today that are antichrist, that are very, very antichrist. And so we see this now when we talk about this, and and he's going to bring them through the fire and refine them as silver as refined and try them as gold as tried. What do you think that means?
Well, that's purifying them inside, Pastor Ernie, with sin and rebellion and all that. He's preparing them for Christ's coming.
Okay, so he's going to take them through the tribulation period. They're going through this time, but we're going to see it. They're going to go through that. It's going to be a tough time, but at the end, well, we should see if we. What takes place, that the Lord is going to rescue his people. And so here, when we see this here, he said, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So we're seeing that at the end of the tribulation period, right at the very end of the tribulation period, we're seeing this. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand on that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cling to the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and the other half of it toward the south, and he shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach into Azel. Yes, you shall flee like as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all of his saints with thee. Now, we see the Lord coming. We see in Revelation 19, starting with verse 11, we see the Lord leaving heaven with four categories of saints. Do you remember what the four categories of saints were?
Well, it's the marriage supper of the bride, so it's his church.
Right, but actually with the church, but the very first time the word saints was used was to describe angels. So you're going to have angels, you're going to have the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, and the tribulation saints. So all of those are going to return back to the earth, and it says as they leave there that the saints are going to go back to fight against the armies of the world. And so just as, you know, When did he before, what other time did he part something to the north and the south to save his people?
No, that was the Red Sea, I guess.
So he parted that. Now, so God is immutable, so he does things the same way, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's the day of battle, Pastor.
Yeah, okay.
In verse 3 there, the day of battle is when he fought the
Egyptian
armies. Yeah,
wasn't much. They didn't put much of a fight, did they?
They got wet.
Yeah. Anyhow, and so here, and he said, "And God shall come and all the saints with thee." And so here now, we return back to the earth, just as Israel is running. He divides the Mount of Olives, and that Mount of Olives is almost straight up, isn't it, from down
it's
to the bottom?
Huge.
Yeah,
that's one of the things. When I went to Israel the very first time, that was one of the things I was shocked about, was the size of the Mount of Olives. I thought it was just like a little knob of a hill with olive trees stuck on it. When I got there, it's gigantic.
Yeah, and it goes, I mean, it's pretty hard to walk up there, isn't it? I mean, it'll wear you out, a guy your age. But anyhow.
Well, you can't really walk up it. You have to... If you notice, the road going up is serpentine going up.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I do know. Anyhow, and so here, here as the armies of the world attack, Israel goes into the Mount of Split. They go into Shiloh, and here the armies of the world, and we're not talking about chariots and horses this time. We're talking about tanks, we're talking about all kinds of weaponry, modern weaponry. I mean, it's going to be there, the army. Remember, don't you remember the War College said that because of this, that Christians should not be in the military because of this battle, because they're going to be back fighting on the Lord's side instead of with the United Nations? And so here, do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember it, Pastor Ernie, very, very well, that battle me and you had with the War College at Fort Leavenworth, and they said that Christians shouldn't be in the military because we want to create Armageddon. We want to bring it on.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what they're trying to do now, but anyhow.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah.
Yep, that's exactly, but anyhow, and so when the armies of the world, they run smack into the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and his saints. And we're not there as spectators. Now, here, when the purpose, like if you go to war, the purpose is to kill more of the enemy than they kill of you, isn't it?
Yeah. Make them surrender.
Well, now, if we are there, we're going to have glorified bodies. We're going to have glorified bodies. And glorified bodies means you can't die, right?
Right.
And so, if we can't die, and they can, who's going to win this battle?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I don't think it relies on us. I think it relies on the King of Kings.
Well, that's true, but we're not there as spectators. When he says the word, that's the sword out of his mouth, is him giving the command to his people. That's the weapon. We're not coming all the way back there just as spectators. We're geared up to fight. It's Christian soldiers. And so there you go. There ain't no prissies in God's army. So we're talking about those are neo-evangelical prissy preachers. There ain't going to be no prissy preachers. Believe me.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, if you go to Deuteronomy on this, and you go to Deuteronomy 33,
mm-hmm.
It's the scriptures that really are pointing to Armageddon and the millennial reign. And in fact, there's a real wonderful hymn that comes out of there. But verse 27 says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." That's the hymn. "And he shall thrust out the enemy before thee, and shall say, destroy them."
Yep, and that's what he's going to say.
Command.
That's the command. But we're up against a heartbreak. I'll be right back after this.
On March 11th and 12th, Bob France will return to the Embassy Suites in Independence as the MC of the nationally acclaimed Bringing America Back to Life convention to introduce such renowned names as Matt Walsh of The Daily Wire, Milo Yiannopoulos, whose powerful conversion story is riveting, David Barton from Wall Builders, and many more. This 13th annual educational conference is presented by the Kurtz Brothers. Join us as we host one of the most significant educational platforms in the nation, designed to equip and engage all those involved in this, the greatest civil rights issue of all times, the right to life. Through focusing on prayer, action, voting, and education, Cleveland Right to Life is paving the way back to life. Help us to bring America back to life on March 11th and 12th. For information, tickets, and booth registration, go to bringingamericabacktolife.org, bringingamericabacktolife.org, or call 440-653-5245, 440-653-5245.
Well, we're loading up the trucks and we're heading to Ontario. We've got a lot of miles to go. See, the work's gotten slow and the boys are getting restless. Look out, Ottawa, Ontario. Well, we're coming down the 16, we're coming down the 1. We're from BC, Alberta, and Saskatchewan. And if you can't hear our big trucks humming way out in the west, we'll bring them to your doorstep. That's right, boys, going on down to Ottawa town. You see, Mr. Prime Minister, it shouldn't be too much to ask. Pretty sure old Parliament Hill runs on natural gas, and I've seen that car you drive, safe to say she don't plug in. So if burning oil's for sinners, well then, buddy, you're all in. Yes, we're rolling down the Yellowhead, we're coming down the 1. We're rolling 18-wheelers and we're bringing everyone. Everyone who's tired of waiting for you to come around. Oh, Mr. Prime Minister, we're coming to your town. Well, we're loading up the trucks and we're heading to Ontario. We've got a lot of miles to go. See, the work's gotten slow and the boys are getting restless. Look out, Ottawa, Ontario. Look out, Ottawa, Ontario.
All righty, we're back. And right now, though, we're going to go to Pennsylvania, out there where Teddy Daniels is. And Teddy Daniels, he's wanting to be lieutenant governor. Hey, Teddy.
Hey, how you doing tonight, sir? Thank you so much for having me on.
It's good to have you here with us. Now, why do you want to be lieutenant governor? Don't they already have one?
Well, he's out of office coming this next election. And, you know, honestly, I started my campaign as a congressional campaign. And over the past couple of years, all of the issues that people have brought to me that they've needed my help with, I'd say 90% of them have been statewide issues. So I feel that, you know, as lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania, I can get much more accomplished for the people of PA than I ever could sitting in a congressional seat.
You're probably exactly right. And if you did that, if you were lieutenant governor, would we still have all of that election fraud that we had?
No, that would stop. That would stop immediately. As a matter of fact, it's ironic you bring that up just today. So we're having another big issue with the liberal Pennsylvania Supreme Court, who's trying to circumvent the state legislature in the election process. So to make a long story short, we filed a suit today against the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court, which will most likely see its way to the United States Supreme Court. I don't think they understand the Constitution and that things are done a certain way under the rule of law.
The truth is that Pennsylvania court is corrupt. Now, you know it, I know it, and they know it. They're corrupt as corrupt can be.
Everybody knows it, and that's the sad part about it. Everybody knows it. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court in 2020, they went and changed the election laws on their own. They more or less legislated from the bench, which is constitutionally not allowed. So We just got to keep taking the fight to them until things are done the right way.
We will. You know, currently over 5 million questionable, unlawful, or spurious ballots identified in the 2020 election in Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona. Now, right now, but the question is, will the Republican Party do anything, or will they just allow this to continue? Now, here, Joe Obama, that that fell in the White House, he's saying that his Department of Homeland Security declares a heightened terrorism threat due to false and misleading narratives and conspiracy theories online. Now, he's talking about anyone who is saying there was election fraud. If you come out and tell the truth, in other words, what that Homeland Security is saying, anyone who's caught telling the truth about the corruption in the 2020 election or how bioweapons that they call vaccines are killing people all across the country, that if you tell the truth about that, like we're doing here, everything we've told you has come down to pass, then you are a potential domestic terrorist. What do you think of that?
Well, I'll tell you this, at least coming from my end. You know, sir, I served 15 years as a police officer. Then I went active duty military, was shot several times in Afghanistan and wounded. I'm a Purple Heart recipient. And to be labeled by my own government as a domestic terrorist, that is what really bothers me the most. You know, I fought and bled for this country, just like so many others have. And to come home, you see what's going on, and you stand up and you decide to speak the truth and take a stance. And again, you know, this is a man who was installed into the White House. He's doing everything he can to try to make his presidency legitimate. And if that means labeling the truth tellers as domestic terrorists, then that's what he's going to do.
Right. Well, he's illegitimate, like you said. He's a usurper. He was not anyone and everyone that says there was no election fraud. And we said that. I was sickened when I
yep.
when I heard the echo chamber coming out, staying with the narrative. And let me tell you, these people that stay with what they call the narrative, okay, these people are contracted liars. This is those when you go there and they say, well, now, they don't call it lie. They call it narrative. That you agree here, sign your name, that you will agree to stay with whatever narrative that we tell you to stay with. And what that means is whatever big lie we tell you, if you refuse to lie for us, you're fired. Okay.
So do you remember, obviously I'm sure you do, 2016, when Hillary lost and she went on the national media tour claiming that the election was stolen from her and it was Russian interference, you know, and that was all proven to be untrue. As far as I'm concerned, the Biden administration hasn't proven anything to be untrue against those who are standing up now and speaking the truth. And it just shows that there is no consistency with their message. Again, in 16, I have screenshots of it. Whenever somebody says, you know, conspiracy theory or whatever, I take that screenshot of Hillary on CNN with the tagline underneath, Hillary Clinton, the election was stolen. And I just remind them of that. You know, and nobody tried to shut down, you know, the left's right to free speech. Let them say it. It's fine. But the difference is they are literally dividing the country on this. And that's the sad part.
Well, here's what I remember distinctively, and I know my two co-hosts here with me. I sat there and watched them flip the numbers upside down right before my eyes. I watched them after state flip the numbers upside down right before my eyes. And then then tell me when Brett Baer and and Susan Smith and little Chrissy, I call him the Chipmunk Wallace, when these guys told me, who are you going to believe, us or your lying eyes, right? I watched mm-hmm. them flip the numbers. When we saw them in Georgia standing out there outside the drop-off boxes, and they were dropping off an average of 2,800 ballots per person that was doing that and getting so much. We watched them. We watched on television as when they didn't realize the camera was on them, and when they threw all the Republicans out, they pulled the ballots out from underneath tables. I saw in Michigan where here one of these big trucks come in, a box truck, and they had all these fake and phony ballots brought out, and they had Biden ballots written right on the box, Biden ballots printed on the box, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The voter fraud was everywhere you turned, and everyone and anyone, and you won't find one of them. You would never get Brett Baer, Susan Smith, Chrissy Wallace, Neil Cabuto. Now, I go after them on Fox News, and the reason I'm doing that is because they pretend to be fair and balanced. They pretended to be fair and balanced. But you'd never have one of them come on here and sit across from me and say, let me ask you about this, let me ask you about that, let me ask you about that. Because they were told, here's the narrative. You're supposed to look in there. And not only that, but did you notice something, Teddy? When they did it, they all did this first. Before they said, where's the evidence? And they all used the same word. There's no evidence, right? They went, like that. Every one of them went, like that. There's no evidence. They did the They did what they were told to do.
Well, and I'll tell you this, too, and this is the big thing. And this should make everybody a believer right here. So this is a man who supposedly received 81 million votes, the most votes ever in history, the most popular president ever. And a year later, he has an 18% approval rating. How does that happen? How does that happen?
Well, I can tell you exactly. There was a whole lot of deceased people that voted for him.
Absolutely.
A lot of dead people, a whole lot of dead people. Not only did the dead vote for him, they voted for him more than once. And so,
well, just in Pennsylvania here, we're still working on cleaning the voter rolls. There's so many dead voters still on the rolls. And then you have the inconsistencies in Pennsylvania to where it was the big mail-in ballots. And you had one county here in northeast Pennsylvania, Luzerne County, who sent out applications for mail-in ballots unsolicited, where every other county, you know, you had to request one, not in Luzerne County. So it just, there was no consistency across the board in the election either. And the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court was one of the big issues. They changed the rules on the fly during the election, which they have no constitutional authority to do. And that's why we're calling them on the carpet now.
Well, here's the problem. The problem is, let's say it does get to the Supreme Court. Let's just say they actually did the right thing. We no longer have a Department of Justice. It used to be an independent agency, okay, independent. Now it is simply a branch of the Democratic Communist Party. And it's filled with dirty cops. Merrick Garland is a dirty cop. And, I mean, and why do I say that? I say this because, look, what they're doing with the false flag incident of January 6th when they went after our people, these dirty cops, when the dirty cops murdered a patriot woman, shot her dead, an unarmed woman, murdered. That was murder. But those dirty cops, they walked away with it because that dirty cop was probably told, you know, they knew that he would probably drop the dime on others, okay? So they walked away. Well, they treated the patriots, they treated those people, innocent people, like criminals. And then you have burn, loot, and murder. You have Antifa that rioted, burnt cities down all across the country, killed people, murdered people, and murdered, 40 cops were killed, just like today. In Arizona, you had 9 police officers that were attacked by Democrats, and 5 of them were shot. And so Yeah, from now on, that's, look, whether it's Antifa, Burn, Loot, and Murder, whatever degenerate, remember, they always vote Democrat.
No, they do. They do. You're 100% correct.
So, anyhow.
Yes, sir, Ernie?
Yeah.
Can I ask Mr. Daniels a question here? I guess it's specific to Pennsylvania. And I know he's very aware of the current administration and the lieutenant governor that we've had under that administration. And so how will you administer the office of lieutenant governor if you're elected differently than what we've had with Lieutenant Governor Fetterman?
Oh, yeah, that's easy. Fetterman is more of an activist than anything else. I think he uses his office for activism. One of the things I want to do when I get into office is, first and foremost, we need to weed out all the government corruption, because Pennsylvania is extremely bad on both sides, both parties now, with corruption. So we need to get in there and weed that out. We need a structural transformation of the party from the bottom up and from the top down. The other thing I really want to be involved in is to help the governor push the legislation that he needs pushed. And if that means camping out in the state senator's office and eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner across the desk from a senator who's a holdout, then so be it. Then that's what I need to do. I want to take a very, very, very active role. You know, I'm a big person on school choice. And, you know, trying to take the power away from a lot of these teachers unions. And there's just so many fights to be had. But it's not going to be from an activist role. It's going to be from a position to actually accomplish things and get things done that need to get done.
Well, that would be refreshing after having a lieutenant governor whose only agenda was to get people hooked on dope.
Yeah, yeah, and the flag that he was hanging outside of his office. It is. It was sad. It was sad. You know, obviously, I want to travel the state. I'm a retired police officer. I want to visit every police department and see what their needs are, see what we can do in our position to help make their job easier. Over the past several years, obviously, the left and the media has demonized and vilified law enforcement, and you know, we need to stand behind them and help them and help procure funding for them, for training, for equipment, and for them to adequately be able to go out and do the work that needs to be done.
Well, what do you think about restoring power to the sheriff's office in Pennsylvania?
You know what? I love it. I really do. I actually worked several years as a cop down south, where the sheriff's offices were full-service agencies. And I think it really helps with a lot of areas who rely solely on state police coverage, and they don't necessarily get the coverage that they need. So I would be all for it. I know that there's a lot of sheriff's offices in the state that help supplement with canine units, and riot control teams and bomb squads and things of that nature. But I would love to see full-service sheriff's offices across the state again.
All right, very good. Yeah, you know, this is exactly what we need. We need the sheriffs to be elected as they were and not appointed as some of them. And we really need to do that because here we are under attack. You keep hearing about Russia is about to attack Ukraine, and I, you know what, I can tell you who really wants them to. Joe Biden and the Democrats are hoping they will. They're hoping that they will attack because they want to use this. The industrial military complex makes money. They make big bucks. They're as corrupt as corrupt can be. They are as corrupt. There's nothing that's not. Look, we told people that, you know, that since going all the way back with Obama, they're working hand in hand with the drug cartels. They're working hand in hand. Oh, you know, Joe Biden, or if you want to call him Joe Obama, his crime cartel, his crime family has been working hand in hand. This is a fact. Hand in hand with the drug cartels and the human smuggling cartels, and they're making money. Look, let me ask you something, okay? If you were to come home someday and you saw somebody out there giving your kid a crack pipe, what would you think about that?
I'd be in jail. I'd be in jail. That's all I can say about that.
But you see, don't you understand, Joe Obama's giving all of these homeless people, these drug addicts, crack pipes because he really cares for them, okay? Especially the minorities, right?
Mm-hmm. See, you know what the problem is? And I said this last week at an event, we are in the midst of a culture war in this country as far as what's acceptable and what's not acceptable by society. And if we don't win the culture war, any legislation that people want pushed or any laws that we need passed, none of that is going to matter unless we win the culture war. Who would have ever thought that an administration would take taxpayer money and buy crack pipes with it? Who would have ever thought that that would happen?
I tell you who. I know exactly who. It's the people. The people that would say, who would ever thought we would be taking young men, foreigners, illegals, fighting age men, sneaking them in to prime locations throughout the country and placing them in places where they're ready to be activated in case we need to stop an election, in case we need some cities burnt down, and so where we can go to mail-in ballots if we do have, or we can, you know, an election, because a certain party cannot win a fair an honest election, and they know that because they're corrupt. Those are the same
people.
You're
absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I really want to touch on this culture war thing again because obviously the nuclear family is under attack, okay? And, like, my youngest son is 4 years old, and he loves watching SpongeBob, but it's on Nickelodeon. And I sat there and I watched one day with them, and the commercials coming on at Nickelodeon, geared at our kids, is pushing the BLM agenda, the LGBTQ agenda. Like, they're pushing that agenda in the schools. Now they're pushing it in programming for our kids. And I truly believe it's for the destruction of the nuclear family.
You're absolutely right. They haven't denied it, Ted. They haven't denied it. They've said that we have to end the nuclear family. All right, we're coming up to a break, and then when we come back from the break, we got a whole lot more to cover. Because I got questions too, so hang in there.
You got it.
We will be back right after this with a whole lot more. So don't go away. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.